Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey there, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up?
Welcome to episode 154 of the Groom Pod, recorded on February 18th, 2018 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This episode of the Groom Pod is sponsored by Stazco Grooming Products, featuring the famous Stazco conditioning spray and his fabulous conditioner as well. Find them online and at your favorite distributors. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk about tails and what to do with them. We'll learn about hair bonds and do a handful of Facebook questions. So you can join us by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. Subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play. Find out all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner, our donation button, and the Patreon button at www.thegroompod.com. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. What is new with you this week?
Hey, I want to say something about Stazco's products that I've noticed since we've been using them, and that's that the fragrance for the shampoo and conditioner really lasts a long time. I have never had a light, pleasant fragrance that I can smell several days later when the dogs are up cuddling with me. So it's not, his fragrances are not kind of, they're not aggressive, like kind of like the Isle of Dog fragrances are. They're more subtle and lighter, but they do last for a long time. And I know that's an important feature for many groomers.
There's been a lot of discussion on the smell factor and all that. And yeah, you're right, it's a subtle smell, but I don't have the luxury. Well, I do right now because I got Figgy here, but I generally don't have the luxury of having one of my bathed dogs in my face. I'm very jealous. But I smelled it on my coat the other day from just the conditioner spray. Whereas I usually like the in-your-face smells. And this one, I was like, yeah, it's a little subtle for me. And then I smelled it on my coat a little bit later, and I thought, oh, that's actually a lot nicer than I thought.
So, well, that's interesting that you say that, because I didn't like the fragrance when I smelled it out of the bottle. I said, oh, I don't know whether I'm going to like this. It's kind of too babyish for me, baby powdery. But when it got on the actual dog and snuggling up to me, I thought, I really like it.
Yeah, I do too. I'm very pleased.
Okay.
The whole dog online. I'm pleased with the whole line. All right. So what else is new?
So what else is new is that I, in preparing for the podcast today, I went to the shampoo in the grooming industry list, and that's my second favorite list besides us, and it's a list where I can pick up things to talk about. And someone had posted a picture of a sheet of ingredient information that pushed my buttons.
Would you call this an angry bird segment, perhaps?
This is kind of an angry bird segment, because I was so disappointed at this list. I mean, I saw the picture of the information, and it was very full. It was like white type on a black sheet of paper with columns for each product. And I thought, oh boy, look at this. But then when I went there, it was just so disappointing.
I hate it when that happens.
So I want to talk a little bit about what makes for a disappointing ingredient sheet. So we could call this a label. I don't know if the if all of the same information is on the bottle per se, but it's what they're providing. It's
right.
It's the tech sheet. You know, it's supposed to be the disclosure. So here's the first thing that I noticed was that it does this coconut surfactants dodge.
That always gets my hackles up.
That's the first thing. That's a dodge. And Kirsten Reynolds busted them on that. It's not a complete ingredient list. None of the products give a preservative. There's no preservatives listed. So right there, you know, it's not a complete list. It's got coconut surfactants and no preservatives listed. Now, here's another thing. The first shampoo, it's called Remedy Eucalyptus Oil Shampoo. So you look down in the ingredients, the last ingredient is eucalyptus oil botanical fragrance.
It's not even the real thing.
Right.
It's fragrance oil.
It's a synthetic, smells like botanical fragrance, you know,
okay.
And all of their fragrances. So this one is eucalyptus oil botanical fragrance. And the next one is floral oil botanical fragrance, coconut oil botanical fragrance. And there, and dig this, check this out. Premier coconut conditioner. Ingredients: water, sterile conium chloride, centrimonium bromide, coconut oil botanical fragrance.
That's it?
That's it.
Well, and, wow.
And on the features and benefits, they, check this out. Formulated with veterinarian recommended pH level 7.5. Some veterinarian told them that canine pH is more alkaline.
Yeah.
And so they're even formulating their conditioner to be alkaline. Well, one thing that I know that they don't seem to know is that when you got a cationic conditioning ingredient like sterile conium chloride,
yeah,
it does not become substitute to the hair except in a slightly acidic pH.
So either they're lying or they're ignorant. So stupid or liar, which is it?
Oh, God, it doesn't even matter. It's effed up. Contains 100% coconut oil known to preserve and protect protein bonds in a pet's fur.
What? 100% coconut oil. So
100% coconut oil, and there's not even any coconut oil listed in the ingredients. Coconut oil botanical fragrance.
But coconut oil is extremely viscous to start with.
You see, the thing of it is, if it's coconut, you know, and the same thing, if it's eucalyptus oil, botanical fragrance, that's two ingredients, but that's not how it's listed. There's no commas in any of these listing. The other one contains, there's two that have coconut oil botanical fragrance, and then there's sandalwood oil botanical fragrance. Well, the only way you're going to have any sandalwood is in a synthetic, because sandalwood is extraordinarily expensive. You're not going to have any of these exotic essential oils that cost $1,000 for 16 ounces is not going to be in a pet shampoo, period.
No, that'd be crazy.
They couldn't even use two drops. It just wouldn't be cost effective. So here we are, coconut oil botanical fragrance, sandalwood oil botanical fragrance, floral oil botanical fragrance, and eucalyptus oil botanical fragrance. Get out of my face. Then they're real sloppy with their botanical names of their extracts. So they have Salvia officinalis matricaria. Well, you know what? There is no such thing as a Salvia officinalis matricaria. Matricaria is a genus name or a first name for chamomile.
And chamomile is not salvia.
And that's two different things.
Yeah, two different plants.
Right. Two different plants. So, like someone didn't know. And so they have salvia officinalis matricaria extract, comma, sage leaf extract. Well, that's the same thing. Then they have nettle extract with no botanical name and rosemary extract with no botanical name.
They're all over the place.
They're all over the place. They're inconsistent. It's inaccurate and inconsistent. And even though that's a nitpicky thing by itself, it's just another indicator of a kind of lack of mindfulness and integrity on the part of whoever's making up this ingredient information sheet.
It's extremely lazy.
Extremely lazy. And sometimes there are mistakes that happen in translation, or the clerk typist who types up the thing doesn't know, and so they don't place the commas right and they make mistakes. But this is just so repetitively reckless.
Yeah, there's no way you list botanical fragrance oil three times in three different shampoos and not actually mean that.
Yeah, there is another inaccuracy, which we'll talk about later in our DDJ. Okay. Well, and anyway, it's just sort of points to bullshit.
Well, it certainly doesn't instill confidence. Like, for instance, the list that John Stasko sent us, or the list that's on the Show Seasons products, or the list that's on the MED Best Shot products, where they're finally giving full ingredient disclosures like it's important. Because guess what? It's important. At least it's important to us. I don't know. I suppose there's groomers out there who don't care what's in their shampoo, but I think we should all care what's in our shampoo.
Yeah, well, you're right. And so that's my rant of the day of kind of what's new. and then I have another rant that we'll get to later. A couple of more. It's a ranty kind of day, but in a good natured kind of a way.
Oh, excellent. You know, like. Excellent. I love that. So Groom Expo happened last weekend.
It's happening this weekend.
It's happening this weekend, but this won't be out till Friday.
You're much more accurate than I am. Yeah, I know, and I missed it again. The one big show that's closest to me that I've never been to.
I know, but it turns out that it's a bad weekend. Why do they pick President's Day weekend? That's a bad travel weekend. Just in general.
Just because it's a 3-day holiday?
Yes. Yeah, so for me to go down to Knott's Berry Farm next week, where am I going? Week after next. I want to say it was $69 each way. To go down to Pasadena for the show, it was $149 each way. That's highway robbery. And the flights are full.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad weekend. Any other weekend, I would have happily just taken the 2 days off and gone down. But when I looked at that kind of airfare, I don't want to waste my frequent flyer miles on that, because it's not far enough. You know, I'd like to use those for somewhere more substantial.
Like coming to see me.
Exactly. To see you, or for us going to Atlanta or something more like that. I don't want to use it to go down to hop, skip, and jump down the coast. It just doesn't seem like an efficient way of using that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I am going to try to get on there and look at the creative.
Hopefully. Oh, of course. You just,
But I've got some grooming this afternoon, so I don't know how much of that is going to happen. Here's a cool thing. I am officially an LLC now with the Groom Pod as a DBA.
Good.
Yep, I got the notice on the email. I haven't gotten it in the mail, in the snail mail yet, but I got it in the email. So I'm pretty excited. Yay.
Yay, good for you.
Yeah, now I have to go open a bank account. That's the next step in the process. And then I suppose I have to have all my checks made out differently now. so that I can start putting the money over there and then the payroll thing. But as all of this develops, I will take you along on the journey. Next thing is the bank account. I saw Brandy yesterday. She came over and she met me at one of my doodle houses at Twinkie the Doodle. She's just one of my favorite doodles. She's a smiler. I love the smilers. She gives me all her teeth when I, oh, there's Susie, big smile.
Twinkie, what a cool name. Hey, I discovered chocolate-covered Twinkies.
Yes.
Oh, God. It brings out the 13-year-old, you know, that stuff like ding-dongs and that stuff brings out the 13-year-old, but I had never had chocolate-covered Twinkies. And they were quite delicious.
Here's my issue with the Twinkie thing, because I have an issue with the Twinkie thing. I'm kind of a, let's call it a Twinkie connoisseur, if you will. When the Hostess factory went tits up, several different companies got the recipe to be able to make the Twinkies. They tweaked them immediately and they're not the same. Now, I've never had a chocolate covered Twinkie, so I could go for that because I don't have a pre-existing conception.
Taste.
Yes.
Right.
But when I go for a new Twinkie, it is so not reminiscent of the old Twinkie. It breaks my little heart. I digress.
Well, another culinary thing that I discovered this week, also related to chocolate, dark chocolate hummus.
Ew.
It's wow. Good. It's good.
Oh,
with
okay.
Strawberries.
I'll pass on that one. Unless it has no actual hummus in it, and then I might be in.
But it doesn't taste like hummus. It tastes like smooth, dark chocolate. Not quite pudding, because it has more texture than pudding.
All right.
But it's still
if
creamy.
I happen to be at your house and you happen to have it. I will take a tiny, teeny little itsy-bitsy taste.
Oh, you need to have enough to cover your palate, girl. Teeny, itsy-bitsy taste. Cheat.
You know me,
I'm afraid of chocolate hummus. Okay, all right. Well, next time you visit, my challenge is to overcome your fear of chocolate hummus. I've got it.
Okay, that is okay. Is there garlic in it?
No.
Okay.
It's a dessert hummus.
I'm just checking.
No, we don't do garlic chocolate.
Anyway, the only reason I bring up Twinkie, the cutest name for the cutest doodle in the world, is that Brandy came in and looked at the dog, and then we chatted for a little while, and she left. And then a little while later, she texted me back, and she said, "What did you use on that dog? It was gorgeous."
Ah!
I know, and I have zero confidence in my doodles.
Isn't that nice? Your friend Brandy, who knows your grooming from years, gave you a great deliberate compliment.
It was awesome. You gave me a compliment too online. It was like getting a sweet piece of candy.
Yeah.
It was like, here you go, chunk. I loved it. I was so proud.
Yeah, well, my compliment is how lucid you are of talking about shampoo ingredients and stuff nowadays. It's just, I'm just so proud of you.
I'm getting there. It makes me feel good. I'm a work in progress, though. I've got a lot of learning left to go.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. So I want to explain to these lovely listeners out there, I wish I had extra hours in my day. And occasionally when we record a podcast that runs, an hour and 25 minutes, like last one did, and I have to chop out large portions of conversations just to make it manageable, I run late on the episodes. And I know you guys don't really put any pressure on me, but I put a ton of pressure on me to get these out by Friday morning. And I just wanted to formally apologize for kind of dropping the ball there and just not being able to get on that. That last one required some serious chopping out of some random conversations we were having. And it took me forever to get that up, but I did get it up and it's a really good listen. And every single week we get neat compliments and words of love and support on the Groom Pod discussion group. And every week we get a few more people joining up on the Patreon button. And the Patreon button is something we should talk about really quickly right here, because I always forget, probably because of my awkwardness over finances in general. But the Patreon button on the website, www.thegroompod.com, is a way that you guys can support us just by throwing a monthly contribution. It can even be a buck. I always like to think of it as tipping your bartenders. You're tipping us. There is a lot of discussion in the industry about free learning. And Barbara and I are big proponents of free learning in this respect. There are places to get paid for your intellectual property, and then there are places where intellectual property and learning meld with fun and entertainment. And that's kind of where the Groom Pod sits. It's morning radio. We're your guys' friends. We hang out with you while you're working. We talk about the stuff that you would talk about if you were talking to another groomer. And really, I don't want you to have to pay for it, but we would love you to tip your groomers. So the place to do that, the easiest way to do it, if you want to do a one-time contribution, you can do it with the donation button. If you want to do a monthly contribution, you can do it through Patreon, and that button's on our website. So enough about that. I'm awkwardly squirming in my seat, having mentioned it as it is. So Barbara, let's take a quick break, and then we'll be back for our first appointment, which is tails and how to trim them. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro-Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. In Jody Murphy's book, she has a whole section on tails. Have you seen that? You have not? Oh, it's... I'm going
to
start...
Now, see, wouldn't that just be me? See, I've gone right to the breeds. Yeah. And even, I asked for this topic today because I had an experience with... Two Legato Romanolas came in, and I did them last year, and the woman, I did them a couple or three times, and the lady raved about my grooming to the breed standard, and now they came back, and not only were the heads wrong and the ears long, but the tails were flagged. They had these big, bushy, doodly tails, and I'm looking at them, and I say, God, nobody has clipped these tails since I last saw these dogs. I said, what the heck? Is this something, is this an alternative? So I went to the net and I pulled up the breed. They're always got tails close. I mean, it's not a 10 blade, but kind of a 4 blade tail or a 5 blade tail. It's pretty much a slim, narrow tail, and that's what you always see on this breed. Somebody isn't even looking.
That's what I was thinking. You know, they even Google it?
No, I don't think so, and it just pushes my buttons.
It is one of those kind of days, isn't it?
See, it is. I mean, and the heads weren't right. And the easiest thing with the Legatos is to, you just trim the edge of the ears. You just trim to the edge of both ears. They're just these kind of roundy ears, that it's not a Bichon head, but that's the first thing that you do.
Isn't that funny? And we have such a just a plethora of resources out there. Although I will say this, when you brought up this topic, I immediately went to Google and I searched for types of dog tails. There is really not a whole consolidated area. There's like either too blowhardy or not hardy enough. I mean, there's just not a great tail resource. And then I found, then I thought, well, I'm going to check Jody's book. And sure enough, go to Jody's book. So if you need ideas for pretty much anything, remember, get one of Jody Murphy's books and use it. All right, there's an aside. I wanted to plug her because I did use the book a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, like, so let me just drop in a few hints, okay? Because another place where a mistakes and oversight often occurs is on terrier tails. I'll tell you about three types of terrier tails that are commonly kind of missed. The Cairn Terrier has a fat, carrot-shaped tail. So it's wider at the base and it's round on the top. The Westie also has a carrot-shaped tail, but it's a little bit more narrow.
How about the top? Is the top the same?
The tip of the tail is... Oh, yeah. I lost a customer one time because I left a point on the end of her Westie tail.
And it's
I lost a customer because I left a pointed tip at the end of the terrier tail. And I said, okay, let me fix that. You know, and she said, no, you clearly don't know your breed standard.
Oh my gosh.
I know. What a bitch. And so now the Scotty tail is most pencil shaped of them all. Okay. There should be no flag on a Cairn, a Westie, or a Scotty tail. You can take a 7-blade up the back of the tail on all of those breeds. That should be flat because that helps to create the profile.
Shortens the body.
Yeah, it shortens the body and it just gives the whole rear line a little emphasis. So you're always safe to just scissor that short or take. If you're not comfortable with a 7, take a 5-blade with a grain, just right up from the base of the tail on up. You don't want to make a ring around it like you would. You know, I've actually seen Scotty tails come in with a ring around the base like you would a poodle tail and then a flag.
Oops. So let's talk a little bit about flags before we pass right by them. So a flag, that means a bunch of fringe off the backside of the dog's tail, right? Generally,
right, is that, right, know. Right. And so now on let's talk about a Shih Tzu tail.
Okay.
So Shih Tzus normally have, they naturally have a plumed tail.
Plumed tail, yes.
Plumed tail. Bichons also have a plumed tail. Dogs that have plumed tails, some people like them trimmed and some people would rather not. On a Bichon, I rarely trim the tail unless the customer specifies that. On a Shih Tzu pet, I will trim the tail if I'm doing a fairly short trim on the body and the ears, all of which to make it be in balance because you don't want a little short round face and bobbed ears and then a huge plumed tail.
Right.
Right? So you kind of want the back end to match the front end. And you... So the way that I do that, by the way, is that I hold the tail up by the tip straight out with my left hand, and then I take my longer scissors. This is where I will use maybe a 10-inch straight and just scissor it evenly along the bottom with a little bit of shortened towards the base of the tail, because you don't want those hairs around the base of the tail to hang down or make a little bush when the dog puts the tail over its back. And if the dog carries its tail over the back, it's a good thing to put the tail over the back and see what's happening around the bottom of the tail.
Right. On some of those guys who have a really tight high tail set, so that it's a big crease right there, I'll do a banded tail on those dogs to eliminate the breakage of coat that happens there.
And sometimes that coat, if it grows too long, it can get caught in their poop.
Yeah, that too. Everybody knows that's awful. Nobody likes peanut butter in their hair. Oh, yes. Okay. Sorry. All right. Graphic. I have a tendency to, if it looks okay on the dog, do the pull everything up and twist it and cut the end off. I've done that with my own ponytail. And let me tell you from personal experience, it doesn't work. And my hairdresser gets really pissed at me when I do that. It seems like it would work. Just take it and twist it up the top of your head and hack it off. But it's not necessarily a great way to go with your own ponytail.
No, because, you know, you get like a Christmas tree tail when you do that. You have to be careful doing that. You can do that on the ears, too. On long, long ears, you can twist the ears and cut them off, and you've got a beveled ear. But you don't always want a beveled tail. I mean, you can do it, but you got to be careful.
It's got to look good on the dog. Sometimes it looks awful. I have made that mistake.
I have made that mistake, too, because I'm always looking for little time-saving things. But, I've made that mistake on poodle tails.
Let's talk about poodle tails.
Okay, I love a poodle tail. I love a large palm on a poodle tail. But there again, you need to kind of match the tail, the size of the palm, to the dog's tail. The poodle tail that I dislike the most are what I call the dildo tail.
I totally know what tail you mean.
Don't you?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I don't like it.
You know, like, don't do that. Don't shave the tail all the way to the third up and then make a little ping pong ball at the end. That looks like shit. Looks like a dildo tail.
And there's the exaggerated one also shaved almost all the way up with a helium balloon at the end.
So the correct and some, you know, like there is the uncropped tail, which we can talk about, but the correct cropped poodle tail is that the band around the bottom of the tail should not extend more than, well, you know, if you put the tail down and see where the bottom of the anus is.
Yeah, the low point.
That should be the high point of your band.
I never knew that. That's a good tip, Barbara. Pro tip. There you go. Pro tip right there.
And I got that from some pro, you know, at the grooming show. Judy Hudson or somebody like that pointed that out. You just kind of measure. And with the poodle tail, I also make a triangular wedge into the croup, or the, you know, the back side of the dog where the tail goes in. Yeah. And now on your little Norwich, Norfolk type terriers that got a little stubby tail.
Are we talking about the bobbed tail or the docked tail,
The docked tail.
Okay.
You want to leave those up to be about the same length as you're doing the body. Okay.
Okay.
They also shouldn't be overly grown and bulbous. You know, they could be the same length that you're doing the body.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's talk about the uncropped poodle tail, since you touched on that, before we move on.
Yeah, I have so rarely done that.
They're kind of a plume tail.
It's kind of a plume tail, but it's not really a plume, that it doesn't really fold over the dog and flow. It's actually kind of a curly flag tail.
Yeah.
In a way, you know. I think that what you need to do is, you guys tell us, people who have worked with uncropped poodle tails, tell us what is your method. How do you like to get the tail right?
So we have a huge following. I was looking at our metrics. Huge following in both Canada and Australia. And I think both of those places don't dock tails. So somebody out there, get on the Groom Pod discussion group and share with us how you guys deal with undocked poodle tails. So what do you do with a really tangled tail?
Silicone.
Ah, yes. So that's the one. That's the one moment where I'll grab the silicone gel, or like the silk product from Chris Christensen, or something really more viscous than normal. And I'll actually detangle that tail before I put the dog in the bathtub, just because some of that stuff leaves a little bit of residue behind. Is that a good technique, or do you have a better technique?
No, I think that's a good thing. That's also a place where I would allow for combing out before the bath, and I would use a silicone gel.
Does that reduce the damage?
It does.
Sometimes if you untangle a tail like that, especially some of the curled plume tails where the person hasn't done anything with it and it's just literally beat itself over the back of the dog and it makes kind of the sleeve, I will untangle that once, but it always seems like the next time it just tangles right back up again.
You know that untangling, no matter how gentle and how much product you use, it's going to break some coat. And broken coat is going to gather its neighbors unto itself. You know, a single broken hair can cause a fucking mat.
So, yeah, there's a swear. So sometimes I'll do what they call a lion tail, what they call who's they.
Oh,
sometimes,
yeah.
Sometimes I'll do a lion tail and just take the sheath off and then detangle the little bit of an end plume just to make it look cute.
Speaking of lion tail, Portuguese water dog gets a lion tail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah,
totally. Yes. And yes. So do dogs with matted sheath tails. Yeah. And you know, another unique tail is like the Bedlington tail.
Well, the Bedlington tail, you know what? I love a good Bedlington tail, but the one Bedlington that I do, and I adore the people, they won't let me do a true whipped tail. They won't let me do a 40 blade against the grain down to 1/3 of the, you know, I have to just do like a 5 blade all over.
Ah, wah, wah. I'm looking once again in Jody's book, and under rat tail, she's got the cutest little Bedlington tail butt and tail combination. It's just adorable. You're right.
Yeah, you know, and there again, when you look at the Bedlington tail and it's got hair left at the base that's in a V shape, there's all these V shapes that go into Bedlingtons, like on the ears and stuff. But the Bedlington tail is left full at the base, and then it makes a little V, and then it's bare for the rest of the whip. But if you look at a show Bedlington, and when you drop the tail down, it makes a perfect little rear end line. So it blends in with the rear end lines there. It doesn't like stick out. So it's still scissored and sculpted.
It's also shaved.
It's also shaved. Yeah. Yeah. Against the grain from the very tip.
You know what I really hate are those broken tail, or tail crunched up in the womb, or, you know, tail goes off to the side kind of fix it jobs where you feel bad even brushing the dog's tail because it's crooked, and hiding some of those are kind of challenging.
Yeah, but there's fun in mastering that, like hiding those. Yeah, I know some, I've had lots of opsos that have had crooked tails.
Yep. Sometimes in the old days, they used to just take them off at the crook. But nowadays, there's lots of crooked-tail dogs out there. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a break and we'll hear from another sponsor, which would be South Bark. And then let's go back to school.
Okie doke.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Veterinary vocabulary this week, Barbara. Atrophy. When part of the body or an organ degenerates away due to a lack of use or disease or injury. Sometimes we see this on the dogs we work on as they age, and it can indicate sore hips or sore knee. You notice that they're just losing muscle structure on their thighs and stuff. You know, it might indicate that there's a painful area back there. I've got some muscle atrophy on my foot. It's a bummer. You can see it. There's a big dent there. Muscle atrophy.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know. I can't do anything about it. I accept it. So the only reason I mention it is because if you start to see signs of atrophy anywhere, you know, it also happens with internal organs, so that we wouldn't see. But if you see signs of atrophy, you might alert the owner to have it checked out. All right, grooming glossary this week is one that we know very well, and it's undercoat. Tell us what undercoat is.
It's soft.
Always.
It's fine.
Yep.
And it can be shorter than the top coat.
Is it denser?
Well, anytime you have fine hair, you have a denser coat. You know, like that's one of the things that makes cocker coat so challenging is that it's really dense and it's kind of fine.
And undercoat never really exists on its own. There's always guard hairs or longer hairs involved. The only time you see like dense undercoat overtaking is when a double coated breed has been shaved down, right, and the guard hairs and the dense undercoat are all the same length now, and it changes the whole look on the dog, which is why we don't love doing that. So let's go on to our definition du jour. Barbara, tell us about hair bonds.
Okay, I want to tell you about hair bonds because this was another inaccuracy on that shampoo ingredient, the information page. So what they said was about the coconut oil, known to preserve and protect the protein bonds in the pet's fur. Well, there are no per se protein bonds. Hair consists of keratin protein, which is held into its shape by hydrogen and cysteine bonds. So I'm going to read to you. Your hair or your pet's hair is composed of keratin, a strong fibrous protein, and is built from cells similar to those of your skin. In fact, if you remember, hair is of the skin. It's just another form, really. So hair is a remarkable fiber. It's very strong, and a healthy hair, this is human hair, but this pretty much goes for pet hair, can stretch up to 30% of its length and can absorb its weight in water and swell up to 20% of its diameter.
That's crazy.
So isn't that crazy? But that can happen. And especially if you've got porous hair like poodle hair or doodle hair, it's going to absorb more water. So we have disulfide and hydrogen bonds. I might have been incorrect previously. It's not a sulfide bond. It's a disulfide bonds.
Okay.
And disulfide bonds are one of the strongest naturally occurring bonds in nature.
Just in itself, without any altering or us helping it along.
The only way you can alter disulfide bonds is to break them through strong chemicals like permanence. So right. What permanent waving does is that it breaks down the sulfide bonds and then it redirects them, right? But the hydrogen bonds are also significant, and they can be broken by water. So that's how we can straighten the hair. We break the protein bonds with the water, and then we brush it into a beta shape, which is straight.
Okay.
And it will hold that shape, and a little heat helps to cement that new shape, and it will hold that until it's gets either wet again or the humidity in the air again breaks the hydrogen bond.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so it is. But you see, there is no such thing as a protein bond per se. Protein is bonded or held by disulfide and hydrogen bonds. So the coconut oil can't do anything to the protein bond. That's okay. Just bullshit.
So it's just marketing again. Somebody non-scientist who's writing their marketing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So somebody's read something and they've interpreted it to be that, but that's not accurate.
Yeah, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for accuracy. We're looking not to be insulted.
We're looking to not be insulted. We're looking for integrity in ingredient information. You don't have to get super scientific. You can talk plain language, but coconut oil is not going to affect either the disulfide or the hydrogen bonds. Sorry, Charlie.
Busted again.
Busted.
So just as an aside, I just got a text message from Twinkie's mom telling me how beautiful she looked. So not only did a groomer tell me it looked good, Twinkie's mom told me it looked good.
See, now you're becoming a doodle specialist.
It's a small one. I like the small ones. I can do those.
So did I tell you my rant about doodles?
No, but this is a lovely spot for that.
So this is a customer relations aspect. And on another group, I ran into somebody that said the discussion was about how to straighten the hair of a curly doodle. And so somebody said, these doodle owners want clumpy hair, but I refuse to give it to them.
But who's paying who there?
And why? I mean, you know, like, and excuse me, clumpy? No. Curly, natural, not artificially straightened. You know, the truth is some doodle people want a more natural or rustic.
Rustic.
Rustic is a key word that we're using now because, you know, the Lagoda Romanalos, they want a rustic look. She wanted a summer cut on her Legatos, but she wanted a curly coat. So what was I going to do? So what I did was I wet shaved them with a 4.5 blade and pen dried them under fans. And then used my chunkers, my Evolution chunkers, and just evened it up all over. And it was half the time that I would spend on a doodle for way less than half the time on a poodle of that size. They have pen dried. I got $75 each and a huge tip.
Nice.
You know, and that's because I knew how to do the tails and I knew how to do the ears and the head, and I was willing to leave the coat curly. And there are doodle people that don't want their dog to look like a poodle.
Just like we were saying last week, less is more sometimes.
Less is more often.
Yeah.
I'm
grasping that.
Yeah, less is more often, and less is more with these. They don't want an overly coiffed look, you know.
Which makes me perfect as a doodle groomer. I'm telling you, I have found my niche. Another one, you know, I'm not doing enough. Yeah. Oh, and my evolution here are just helping me with all of it. I just wanted to mention my thumb feels great when I'm using these shears. And I didn't really notice that my thumb wasn't feeling great when I'm using my other shears until I got into shears that are actually fitted a little bit more correctly. And I love the way you can customize them. They're really well made and really, really, really customizable. And they help with doodles tremendously. I can say from my own personal experience that I'm just enjoying them. They're not the perfect shears for everything I'm doing. Just like any other pair of shears, they have their areas of expertise where they work the best for me or where they fit the best in my hands. But I have found those areas and they are making my grooming look fantastic. So just to mention, you can go to evolutionshears.com and you can look at their line. But really, I suggest you call 1-877-560-3057 and ask for Chris, because she's the Groom Pod's personal salesperson, and she will take you through the ringer, and she'll put up videos and she'll help you fit them. And she's just the best. She is a really, really great salesperson. They couldn't have chose a better one. And tell her the Groom Pod sent you.
All these years that I have said that my hands hate swivel thumb shears, it was because I didn't know how to use them properly. I didn't know the correct grip, and nobody coached me on that until Chris came along. So I had a pair of straight swivel thumbs that I had bought 10 years ago and put away in a case in a box, and they were new. And I just had decided, no, I can't use those. I wanted to super glue the thumb thing. And now I understand it was because I really didn't know how to grip them correctly and how to rotate them in my hand. And it takes some doing. It's very different.
It is very different.
You need to be coached on doing it properly, not just told that your hand has to get used to them.
Don't give up. Ask for help.
I think that swivel shears are really a key to saving your thumb. It's a long-term investment in your hands.
Yeah, we can't say enough about that, can we?
Yeah, can we?
Yeah. All right, time for a break. And then we're going to do some Ask Barbara questions from Facebook.
If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table.
Question number one, Barbara. I stole off of the Baby Boomers Over 50 group. I do not have permission to steal this, and it's not so much a question as it is a statement that I wanted to talk about briefly.
Okay.
Yeah, I did let this person know I was going to talk about it, but I still don't feel comfortable saying her name because I don't have that kind of permission. I wish I could figure out the less dogs, more money part. I can't really raise my prices because a grooming establishment opened about a mile down the road from me, and they undercut all of the other groomers' prices a lot. You know how some people choose price over quality? I don't want to push anyone out the door by raising my prices. You know what I have to say about that?
Tell me.
That is exactly what you want to do, is you want to push people out the door by raising their prices. Because if you provide a quality product and you charge more for it, you can get more money in less time, doing less work. Less work, more money, less dogs, less stress. And that's the idea. And the person on this post, the original poster, had just fired her other groomer. So she's in a shop. She had one groomer hired and she let her go and she was kind of panicked. And I posted, don't worry, just raise your prices and drop a bunch of clients that you don't love and keep the ones you do love and charge them more. And, you know, the raising the prices will weed out the people and then you will work less for more money. It's a basic principle.
You don't want those people that have to go to Supercuts.
Price shoppers.
Well, yeah, and Supercuts shoppers. You don't want to be Supercuts. Let them be Supercuts. Let them have all of that. You know what? I had this happen to me. Around the corner opened up a shop, and they were so cheap. And it was just agonizing. And what I did was I raised my prices right away. I further distinguished myself from her. And, you know, it took a few years, but she went belly up. And you know what they were doing to try to keep up with their intense volume of business?
I can only imagine.
They were doing drugs over there.
Oh, I wasn't imagining that.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, they were, a little crystal meth. You know,
that'll put a fire in your engine. I would not want somebody doing that with my dog, though.
You don't need to compete with high volume, low price.
Yes, keep the good ones.
Just distinguish yourself. Raise your prices right now, and become elite.
Yes, be the one that everybody wants to go to because the dogs look fantastic, and let them brag about how much it costs, because people love to brag about how much they pay for their dog services. Those are the people you want. Those are the people that tip you lovely cruises. I have a client that tipped me a cruise. It isn't because my grooming is great, but it's because I'm expensive and I come to her house and she feels pampered, and the dogs get pampered. she has no problem throwing that kind of money around. Those are the people you want, and they're out there. They're in every community. You just don't know about them because your prices are probably low. But if you raise your prices and you get your reputation out there, and it does take a little bit of time for the adjustment, you know, and do it slowly. You can weed out people you don't like right away. Come to your happy price. Tell us about a happy price.
Oh, a happy price is that price that makes you happy to see the dog show up in the book again.
Right, and any other price below that is not a happy price, and they can go take a hike. But when you raise it to the happy price, like Milton is what, $75?
Yeah, Milton is a miniature schnauzer that I get $75 because he's a big pain to groom. And they don't, I mean, they give me $25 tip.
Yep. And when Barbara sees Milton on the books, it's not, oh my God, here comes Milton. It's all right, $75. Let's do this.
Let's do this, right.
All right. So you don't want to push anybody out the door by raising your prices, but yes, you do. That's what you want to do. Get rid of them. Unless you want to be supercuts. And in that case, market yourself better. That's what I have to say. But don't cut your prices. Let them do what they're doing and let them get the bargain shoppers and the people who cancel and don't show up and checks bounce and all that. Let it go. It's all good. Change your attitude. Okay. Question number two. Casey posts, Susie Scott and Barbara Bird, can you talk about helpful reference books out there, like your preferred reference book? We all know Notes from the Grooming Table, and you both have mentioned Jody Murphy's new book. Any others? I just ordered the Mutt Styling Guide since I work at a shelter and usually have to just pick what breed they kind of look like and improvise. How do you two go about researching a more modified pet trim? I use Google Images, and I just put in what they kind of look like, and I just look at the pictures, and something will strike me kind of, you know, as a similar looking dog, and I'll get some ideas that way, and then you can kind of create yourself. Do you have any great books to recommend other than Jody's book? I love Jody's book. I mean, it has a whole segment on tails. What other book has a whole segment on tails?
You know, the Notes from the Grooming Table, second, a revised edition, is a pretty good reference book. It's so easy to use the internet, especially if you have a computer at the shop. You know, you can just pull it up on your phone. You can just put in, you know, if you put in a breed, or the other thing to do is to go to Facebook breed groups. If you go to Soft-Coated Wheaton Terrier Pet Group on Facebook, you will see no soft-coated Wheaton Terriers in a breed profile. You'll see them with bangs. You'll see them with schnauzer eyebrows. You'll see them every which way. You can get a lot of ideas from these groups, you know, because you'll see what other groomers do. So
all of the Asian fusion stuff out there too.
Yeah.
And the Asian fusion groups will give you ideas. And it's all about getting the motivation in your mind about your creative juices, but looking at something else and going, oh, that's going to look great on this dog, and just going with it. There's no real great mutt grooming book other than probably the one you've already picked up. It just isn't out there. You just have to go with your skills, connect the dots, you know, make a shape. It's all good. And people will love it. Ask them what they're looking for. Because sometimes you get the Bichon that comes in and the lady actually wants it to look like a poodle, or vice versa. You can find that out by chatting. But go with the internet. I think.
Yeah, I it's so easy. You know, and you can go to, Pinterest.
Oh, right. That's a good one.
Pinterest gives lots of pictures of pet grooms. And you can scan through it real quickly. It's easier than YouTube, you know, and you can see some pets there.
All right. One more question. Heather posts, I had a 6-month-old English sheepdog in for a puppy trim, aka face, feet, and Sanny, recently. One of the other groomers in the salon told the owner that if they shaved the puppy coat down with a 10, it would shock the coat and that his adult coat would replace it. Is there any truth to this? And if so, what is the biology behind it? I love this topic because we've talked about it before. It's a good one. Barbara, tell us what happens when you shave off puppy coat that's different than when you shave off adult coat.
You know, there are some breeders that swear by this practice. We had it suggested to us for Laza Opsos when we were showing. I think a 10 blade is so freaking close.
Yeah.
You might risk poor regrowth with a 10 blade. But let's say you went with a 7 blade. What you get is a top coat the same length as undercoat. You get puppy hair the same length as adult hair. And perhaps you get less of a crisis of coat with a puppy coat.
Right. Less of the tangled mess that happens.
Less of the tangled mess that happens as the coat goes in transition from... Wow.
My turn.
Yeah, you got barking.
Figgy.
Go, Figgy. Go, Figgy.
What's out there? It's probably just the neighbors leaving or the horse walked up or who knows. Continue.
Well, anyway...
The term shocking the coat is totally a misnomer, though.
No, that's a misnomer. You know, like, hello, do you want to shock a coat?
Yeah.
Do you want to, you know, like, it just seems to me that it's risky business to do that. You know, if the dog is hopelessly matted, which can happen, then you've got to do it. And you just hope that it brings in a better textured adult coat. But that's not necessarily true. It's a kind of an old wives' tale. There's no science behind it.
In my opinion, and I'm not a breeder and I'm not a shower and I don't have any experience other than the grooming table as far as this is concerned, I think that neutering or spaying the dog has more effect in the end result of the coat because of the hormones. And I also think that 6 months is too young for coat change on an old English sheepdog. So if they're already seeing mats and tangles, have the conversation now that in another grooming appointment or two, you may have to shave that stuff off because detangling puppy change coat can be really harsh, especially if it started tangling already early. What do you think about that?
I think it's important not to give any puppies just awful, stressful. So it depends on the coat. If it's a brushable coat, then I don't see any reason to shave it. If you're dematting and pulling and tugging on a puppy coat, you're going to be the bad cop.
Yep.
And you know, like when you're starting a dog on its lifetime of grooming, you don't want to be the bad cop that ruins the grooming experience for the animal.
Especially when the owner's already setting a precedent here that they're not going to be able to maintain the coat. But please have the discussion. No surprises. People don't like surprises. All right. Well, how about if we call this show a wrap?
Okay, I'm for that.
One last thing, though. I want to mention the scissor sale. The scissor sale is going to be ongoing. And Barbara's going to take some pictures. She's found some more shears. She's found new shears. She's got them used shears. All she's got to do is take a picture of them and post them up there. Finding the site has been a little difficult for her. So I think I'm going to put her on as moderator. Yeah.
Yeah, put me on as a moderator. And I'm just going to add to the list, you know. And so we've sold quite a few shears. There's still some up. And I'm going to be, I found another double tanged curve talon.
So you found some new shears that you're going to put up, some old shears. All you got to do is take the picture and we'll get them up there. And you guys go to the Groom Pod Scissor Sale and you can find it there. We better bail on this before both of our internets poop out on each of us.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. I hope you had fun at Groom Expo and we will talk to you guys next week. Happy grooming, everybody. Bye-bye now.
Bye now. Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.